everybody. This is Tayflo, your host of Malapropism and Moxie, and welcome to season 3. Wow, thanks so much for hanging in there. I know I've taken a little bit of a hiatus, but I've been doing a lot of job transitionings and I'm settled and I cannot wait to get the season started. So your first episode is with a good friend of mine, Aaron Dodge, and we are talking about all things side hustles. Dodge and I met in a public space in Charlotte, and we both kind of kept running into each other while each of us was working random side jobs. And so I figured, why not get in deep with the king and queen of side hustles? So in this episode, we popcorn back and forth on different jobs that we've had over the years and give you guys a little bit of tips on if you want to get into a side hustle. So I hope you enjoy and happy listening. All right, hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Malapropism and Moxie. We are starting off season 3 with a bang. I've got Aaron Dodge here as my guest. Today's malaprop in real life is when your full-time job is not good enough and you start pursuing side hustles. So should I call you Dodge? What do you want?
Call me Dodge.
Okay, that's what I was going to do, as my gut was telling me. All right, so Dodge, tell the listeners a little bit about who you are, and then we'll dive into like really why we're here.
Love that. Thanks for having me today.
Of course.
My name is Aaron Dodge. Let's see. Let me go through this as quickly as possible. Originally from upstate New York, I went to college at Coastal Carolina in Myrtle Beach. Studied marketing. From there, I went to New Orleans, where I worked in the NBA for the New Orleans Hornets as an intern. Went up to Minnesota for 3 seasons, worked up there for the NBA and WNBA team up there, and then came to Charlotte 7 years ago and been working for different marketing firms, marketing agencies, video production, and now work for myself.
Working for yourself.
Working for myself.
How long has that been now?
Over a year.
Oh my gosh.
Congrats. Crazy. That's crazy. Awesome. September was the year mark.
Awesome. So. Well, we'll dig into that a little bit. The reason why I asked you specifically for this episode is because I know I didn't meet you when you were actively pursuing a side hustle, but I think I did interact with you as like a follow-up meetup when you were doing a not full-time job. So before we start going into all the different things that you and I have done, because I do believe we are the king and queen of side hustles. Yes. And more specifically in Charlotte. I never did side hustles when I was not living here, but that's neither here nor there. So I guess tell me from your perspective, and then I might share mine, what made you pursue something outside of what you currently had going on? So you had a full-time job working. What did you say your job was when you first got to Charlotte?
When I first got to Charlotte, I was all over the map.
Yeah.
I started at a gym. I quit that after 6 days. then I got into IT recruiting. And then it's funny because, let me back up, my first ever quote unquote side hustle was when I lived in Minneapolis.
Okay.
It was my first full-time job and super excited to be working in the NBA full-time.
Yeah,
moved
neat.
My life up to Minnesota. So much fun, but I just needed a way to make ends meet a little bit more. And so I got a job at a very well-known restaurant called Stella's Fish Cafe in Minneapolis and was a food runner. So, that was so much fun. I had worked in the food industry before and just never really worked at a large enough establishment to where like you can have a job that your literal yeah. job is to run food.
Yeah.
And so I started doing that in 2010 and did that for all 3 years that I worked for the Timberwolves there. So,
oh, that was a very long lasting side hustle.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. It just made sense. I mean, obviously the winter time is rough there, but
yeah.
The summertime we had 90 stairs to the patio. So it's Minnesota, but like they are big on patios.
Yeah.
And cause those 3 months that you can be
you
up
need
there
to get outside when it's not snowing.
Right. And so, 90 stairs, full tray of food all the way up the stairs.
Did you smell like fish every time you came home?
Sure did.
Oh,
but it wasn't bad. It was a lot of fun because it was just the people that I worked with were great, but, made good side money. But it was rough sometimes. That's the, obviously that's the one thing that you're doing when you're doing a side hustle is you're sacrificing your time, but
yeah.
it's for the greater good to bring in a little bit more money, make ends meet. So
I think for me, it was because I was working in higher education, so my salary was not beefy whatsoever. And it was a conflict because I felt like I liked what I did full time. So it's not like I wanted to find another job, but I knew I needed more money for life, whether that was fun or responsibilities or rent or whatever. Right.
Yeah. Had to make the ends meet, but mm-hmm. it was good. It allowed me to meet people, allowed me to continue to, you know, do the things that I wanted to do. And, but at the same time, you know, it was challenging at times, especially when we had, because for those of the people that don't know, I actually worked the home games. So mm-hmm. my job with the Timberwolves was to work every single home game. So there would be times where I would work a home game on Wednesday until 10:30. I'd wake up the next day on Thursday and I would go to work at Stella's until 11 o'clock. And then I would come into work on Friday and we'd have another home game on Friday. And then I'd have to work at Stella's on Saturday. And so there was times where I was working.
You didn't have a social life, probably.
Not really. I was just friends with all the people at the restaurant. So
yes, I do think that people with our similar personalities, being like somewhat extroverted, we get along with a lot of other people pretty easily. It makes up for the fact that you are busy all the time, because you can find commonality and like friendships in the places that you're making paychecks too, right?
Yes, totally.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then what was your next side hustle after that?
Next side hustle after that. Well, I mean, the side hustle that a lot of people know about is cruise carts.
Yeah, that's where I feel like I saw you again.
Yep.
And I was like, I met you before, but you were driving this golf cart in the Music Factory. Yep. And I was like, excuse me.
Yes. So yeah, so back in, 2016, my buddy Dustin had this business where we took advertising space and we added it to the side of golf carts. Now in 2021, they're just actual golf carts that are
very fancy.
That are fancy, and they have doors and they're formatted for this kind of world. But we were kind of bootstrapping it and getting the advertisement put on the side and the actual golf carts. But it was a lot of fun because we took people from point A to point B. We sold sponsorship on the side of the golf carts, but then gave people free rides, and then people would tip me for my time and entertainment, because sometimes I would bring my disco globe up in there and on my Bluetooth speaker and just have a grand old time. But that was one of my favorite side hustles for sure.
So I also worked for cruise carts.
You sure did.
But after you worked for cruise carts, so I remember, I think by the time I decided to sign on, he had kind of built up his, what do you even call that? Like a regime? What's the word when you have like a fleet?
I was going to say fleet.
Fleet. So his fleet was a little bit more bougie. There was like lights, LED lights, and I would always clip my like Bluetooth speaker to the dashboard. And I would always, I feel like the perfect job for me, because I would ask people like, okay, what do you want to listen to? And then I would, you know, go on Spotify and I would pull up the most like ratchet music that I know was going to like bring so much fun to the people that were in Uptown about to go crazy. Or if there was a group of people on a weekend trip. And I just remember thinking like, this can't be real life. Like, how am I making so much money? I made good money. Did you make good money doing that job?
Not really.
Oh, well, you know.
Tay flow.
But yeah, that job was, it was very short lived, but I made good money and it was fun while it lasted. And I feel like it allowed me to network with people that led me to like more things. Right.
Some of my closest friends, I was their first ride in a cruise car.
Yeah.
Like that was the first, we joke about it all the time. Yeah. It was like the first time they ever met me was riding in a cruise car. I met my, a former boss later. I was like
That's
in
cool.
the middle of an interview with him, and I said, I'm sorry, I have to take 2 seconds. Do you remember me giving you a ride and your parents that were in town in a random cruise cart like 2 years ago? And they're like, oh my God, I thought that was you. So
that's so fun.
Came back full circle after that.
The best is when you see people you know, and then here you are rolling up on a golf cart that's like decked out with lights and sound, and you're like, come on.
Yeah. I actually had a couple of people that were like, oh, we're going to this bar. Like, can I call you? So I have like some, I saw it a couple of weeks ago. I have some people that's like Stacy cruise cart.
Yes.
Like I gave her a ride and she was going to call me like 4 hours later to get
like
her
how
her
Uber drivers want to go under the table.
Yeah, basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. What was the next one?
Well, then actually I switched to Lyft driving, actually being in a climate controlled car.
Okay.
Yes.
And not exposed to the elements.
Not exposed to the elements and rickety old golf carts that had batteries that died. And so, yeah, I switched over to that. So the, I was seeing a girl in a little bit after cruise cards, probably like 2016 as well. And she always worked late hours. And so I would get off of work at 5 o'clock. And if I like got my workout in, I was just like, well, what am I going to do from five until 10 when you get home?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not going to sit here. And so that's just how I think once you have one side hustle, it's like how you feel going like after you're like sitting home watching Seinfeld reruns, you're like, I could be doing something right now.
I could be making money right now.
And the thing was the I didn't really need the side hustle at that point, but it was more so the fact that every dollar counts. And if it's like, I'm either going to sit here for the next 4 hours or I have the opportunity to make between 30 and 100 bucks in the next 4 hours.
Right.
So I got into Lyft driving once again, loved it. Cause you and I,
people,
fun conversation. I always,
most of the
time,
the
best part about it as well was also that I didn't need it to be like a huge revenue generator. So therefore I didn't have to drive.
The pressure is not,
there was no pressure.
Yeah.
If like it was 12 o'clock at night and I had been driving for a while and then like someone gets in my car that's kind of live a little tipsy, I'm like, that's it.
Yep.
Like nobody had never had any like stuff spilled in there and nobody ever puked because I didn't need it to survive.
Right.
So I can stop. I could stop doing it when I wanted to.
At a decent hour.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So
I did Skill Pop for a long time.
Okay.
And for those of you who don't live in Charlotte, because I know there's people who don't, they are a startup company that's out of Charlotte that offers, well, pre-pandemic, in-person classes on a specific skill. And the idea is that you take one class, you learn enough about the skill that you can then roll with it, whether that be continue to practice a skill, maybe build up more things. And they vary from entrepreneurship to public speaking to art to crafts, you name it. And I worked for them for years. That was like my longest running side hustle because the money was, it was kind of like you, like you don't need the money, but it helps and it can go to something. And, but the experience I got out of it was what kept me going, right? It was so rewarding with friendships and networking. I mean, I've met so many important people and so many interesting people through being a Skill Pop manager.
Oh yeah. Because you have the teacher who's the thought leader,
the professional.
And then you have, you know, 5 to 20 people that are, you're checking in each time that you're, you know, connecting with. And you got up at the beginning and gave like a little bit of a like, hey, I'm Taylor from Skill Pop. This is what's going to happen today.
It fulfilled my public speaking niche. Cause I love public speaking. Like I'm a freak. Love that. And I mean, I got to learn right every time I worked a class, I could sit in and listen or, you know,
I never thought about it that way.
Take it myself. So
that's a great point.
That's how I learned how to make kombucha. Fun fact.
Get out of here. Yeah. Who taught that class?
It was a guy who was like a teacher, but like nerded out about fermentation on the side. And then it got taken over by Olivia who runs Updog. And then now I don't believe they teach kombucha classes currently, but correct me if I'm wrong, skillpop.com. You can go check them out.
Have you taken an online Skill Pop class?
I have.
Cool.
Yes. I did gnocchi, homemade gnocchi.
Nice.
Yes.
So you did a cooking one.
I did.
How was that with like the whole like computer in the kitchen?
I liked it because I could be in my kitchen, right? In before the pandemic, you had to bring all of the equipment to a classroom.
Sure.
And it wasn't always, I mean, you always had what you needed, but there wasn't always your stuff, your space. So I really enjoyed it. I had a wine, you know, kind of just made it my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I taught TikTok and IG Reels on first Skill Pop for a couple years. So I was an actual teacher. So
oh my God.
Was,
we shared so many side hustles. Goodness gracious. We've been employed. Our W-2s like are very parallel.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, what was after Lyft?
Well, I mean, so it's funny because I went from working in sports and needing food running to be a side hustle to working in marketing. And then my experience in sports allowed me to work game nights at the Hornets, which if it's my secondary income, you would consider that a side hustle.
Sure.
So I was working game nights as well.
Okay.
So from the time I arrived in 2015 until 2019, four seasons I worked at the Hornets doing game night staffing. So I would show up, I would leave my full-time job like right at 5 o'clock, drive over there at 5:30. My boss would download me on what was happening in the game, and then we would be off to the races.
Yeah.
And so at one point, not at one point, basically since I moved to Charlotte, I was working for the Hornets as another side hustle.
That's
as well.
Cool though, that like your job led to an open door, right? I think a lot of people think about side hustles and they seek out things that are not even close to their current world or maybe not related to what they do. And there could very well be an opportunity sitting right in front of you that you don't know about, right?
Sure.
I mean, it depends. It's all relative, but that's cool that that led to that.
Yeah, you can make a decision. You can either say, I want a side hustle that's, you know, if you wanted to maybe take over Skillpop for Haley at some point down the road, you're like, this is a great way for me to get.
Sure, because you're getting experience.
Or there's other times when it's just like a monetary exchange and like, you know, I gotta walk dogs or I gotta, drive a cruise cart and stuff like that. Because even though it's fun and we're extroverts and it's networking, it's not really furthering our careers like that much.
Definitely didn't put any of these on my resume. They might be on my LinkedIn maybe, but yeah. I tried one for a very short period of time that I thought was going to be lucrative. This was strictly for the money, but I signed up to be a Bird scooter charger.
Tell me about that.
Well, it sucked. I very quickly realized that if you are not charging like 20 scooters a night and you don't have a pickup truck and you don't have a garage to like hook all of them up, it is not worth your time, because we all know any human that lives in a city that has had these scooters, people leave the scooters all over creation. They die. They put them in places that are like very sketchy and like, you know, why is this here? I don't know. So I found that I spent more time not making money searching for the scooters. And then when I would, you know, I have to throw them in my Subaru, which you can't collapse them like you can. Like I have a personal scooter and I can
collapse it
and it's easy to carry. But no, you have to like put them in like erect.
Yeah.
And then bring them home and charge them and then deploy them the next morning before 6 a.m. And I just, it was not for me.
How many could you fit in your Subaru?
I mean, three was a struggle.
Oh, wow.
Because you can't, they have to sit in like an L shape.
Yeah, correct.
So, but I'm sure I've seen this. I'm sure people have seen this. The people with pickup trucks, they load in like 20, 30 scooters just like in their truck bed.
Sure.
And they make bank.
Yeah.
And they make money while they sleep. So for me, going through all of that, I don't even think I made money.
So take me through, once you got everything set up, take me through this. So you picked up three. If you only picked up three and you charged those and you put them back the next day,
what would I make?
Yeah.
It depends on where you found the scooter. So a scooter that is easy to find was $5. A scooter that was maybe more difficult to find, it could go all the way up to like $25 for you to charge and return. So I, of course, like what person wouldn't go for the hard ones, right? So I'm like, all right, I can either make $15 or I can make, I don't even know the math, 30, 45 bucks.
Yeah.
But that's when I realized, oh my God, I'm literally driving all over creation for nothing, because the app will tell you where the bird is, but, or the scooters, but oftentimes I would get to that point and the scooter was nowhere to be found. And I was wandering around like a crazy person with my phone being like, where is it? Like hitting the alarm button and everything. So I don't recommend that.
So if you picked one up far away, you could return all three of those in the same location the next morning, though.
Well, that was what was great. I live near a brewery, and the brewery was designated as what they call a nest. And so I was like, oh, this is perfect. It's right on my way to where I work. So I'll just charge them, load them up, and I'll drop them off in the morning. But I only had a full car once. Like I only did it once successfully. So I think the deposit that you have to put down to get the chargers was more than what I ended up making from charging them. So dang. I was like, all right, lesson learned. We don't win them all. Some side hustles are not for you, which I think is a lesson, right? Because
definitely
you go into it thinking, oh my God, this is going to be amazing and I'm going to make so much money. And then the reality is like, no, didn't help the bank.
Didn't help the bank.
Yeah. What's your next one? Do you have another one?
Yeah.
Choose wisely.
I'm going to go with my most recent one, which I really enjoy.
Okay.
Donating plasma.
Yes. Oh my gosh. This is so interesting.
This is like my new hack, because if I have one successful side hustle. I don't need another one. So, and this is like literally the easiest thing. Kept getting ads for this, and I was just like, you know, I honestly probably was searching for something because maybe I wasn't making money like maybe 2 years ago or something like that. And I was just like,
when you had just started to be an entrepreneur, like all alone, like independently.
Yeah. You're just like sitting there searching. You're like, am I ever going to get clients or can I just, what can my body give for, for money?
Plasma.
Legal money. plasma. So I kept getting served these ads and it was just like, make $700, make $900, make $1,000. I was like, doing what? It's donating plasma. So there's a place that's, so if you want to talk about like opportunity cost, there's a place that lives right by, was right by my house, six minutes for me to get there. Once you're, once you have gone through all your pre-screening, once you've got your physical done, you can be in and out in under an hour. And it's really, it's super seamless. It's, they have an app. You sign up on the app. You show up at 7:20 in the morning. You get your finger pricked to see how much protein you have, all those kind of specifications to make sure that you're healthy enough to donate.
Yeah.
Blood pressure, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then the donation takes about, for me, I have massive veins. So the donation takes, I
humble brag,
totally in and out of there quicker than half of the people. Because
you're flowing.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy. And obviously it's a moneymaker, but it's double-edged sword of helping someone else.
Yeah.
So I love doing that. So I'm in a promotion right now that they gave me, and they shoot me an email, and it's eight donations for $700. So that's an easy, you know, car payment. It's an easy rent. That's an easy, you know, I'm putting
investment, you know, into a business or something for your business. Yeah.
Crypto.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but I mean, I know what it is, but I just don't know anything about it. But
we gotta teach you crypto. Okay,
maybe we'll do an episode on that.
Do an episode.
I do have a friend who does crypto.
Nice.
That's awesome. Do you feel like this will be your thing now from like when there is a need for extra cash, this is what you're going to go towards?
It's just the easiest.
Yeah.
I mean, now that I'm a business owner, I literally do have to look at all of my hours and say, what's the risk reward of
absolutely
an opportunity cost of this hour? And when I can do it prior to
the workday,
mm-hmm. it only takes me an hour.
Yep.
There's really like, if you look at the dollar to time ratio, like there's really nothing better for it.
Yeah.
What I do is, I kind of go silent with them for like 1 or 2 months and then they give you like
a
please come back promo.
Okay. And that's when a little insider tip.
So you got to play hard to get for 2 months and then go eight times in 1 month. And then you play hard to get for two more months.
Yes. And for anyone who's like really curious and listening, you do have a highlight reel on your Instagram, which we will share at the end of the episode explaining this, don't you?
I don't have a reel, but you can DM me at Aaron_Dodge on Instagram.
Or highlight. I guess maybe that's what I meant.
Okay. I don't think I put a highlight up.
I know you put it on your stories and I was like watching with such intent. I was like, okay, I need to pay attention.
Yeah. And actually they have really good referral bonuses too. So I think I've probably made $400 because four people used my code to go over there. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, obviously utilize your following and the ability to do that too.
Yeah. I have one, my most current one that I'm in is also a like low, I almost said low risk, but you know, there's not a lot that I'm putting out, but I'm getting money back. And that is, I opened a sniff spot in my backyard. The term sounds really weird and I don't like
saying it. Please elaborate. Please elaborate.
Sniff spot. So it is the Airbnb for dog owners. And essentially you can offer your backyard at an hourly rate for anyone who has a dog that would like to play in a confined, safe setting. So we're talking people who maybe live in a metropolitan area in an apartment without a yard, maybe somebody whose dog doesn't get along with other dogs at dog parks, maybe two dogs are getting introduced for the first time and they need to be in like a controlled space,
sure,
et cetera, et cetera. Maybe they're recovering from surgery and they need to just be in their own element. So I put on the calendar all day, every day when it's light out, anyone can come and book and you get a certain rate for one dog per hour. And then if somebody brings more than one dog, it goes up. So I can make, I don't know, up to, I think the most I've ever made, and this is going to sound silly because I'm like saying, oh, I made so much money, but I think $17 in an hour's time of literally not doing anything.
Sure.
I didn't even have to be home. I didn't have to speak to anyone. Like it was just very passive. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep this going as long as I have a backyard.
Yeah.
And they pick up their poop and like, I don't have to deal with it. And it's great.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And what do you, how much, let's say like a month, cause we're, you know, I'm breaking down like the plasma donation. I'll make $700 this month. How much, what's.
Oh my God. Not $700.
I know. But like what is.
I have made in a given month, I think 55 was my most. So, it gets direct deposited, which is nice. And then I can just allocate that to like what I need. So if I'm eyeballing something that I want to buy, I just put it towards that.
Sure.
So yeah, I definitely, it's not a moneymaker for sure, but it's something that I don't have to think about. And so the fact that, like you said, I can still value my schedule. I don't have to like deal with any coordination. It's just there. Yeah. I really like that.
What are some other side hustles that we haven't listed that you've heard other people have?
I mean, I think a lot of my friends who are creators make things, but I think that's hard for just like the average person. When you think of a way to make extra money, I think people resort to like, oh, I have to make something. I have to be a freelancer. I have to have design experience or whatever. And I don't know, that can be hard. I know that now I feel like I follow all these accounts on Instagram that will like push how you can make money on the side, and you can like record audiobooks for people, or you can
ebooks, yes. Or like, especially with the ability to be designers on Canva, like if you have any sort of value that could be used in an ebook.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how a friend of mine launched her business like 4 years ago, was an ebook on Canva. So
that was one thing I wanted to do. I think I've got a decent voice and it's unique enough that somebody might want it to be the voice behind their whatever novel that they wrote. And so I have thought about getting into that, because although that takes time, right? I have to sit in front of a microphone and read. I don't know. A lot of my friends are makers. So when I see my friends doing side hustles, they're making jewelry, they're making logos, they're copywriting, doing those kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But bartender, coffee shop, things like that. Yep. That's tangible and easy, and you don't have to like take it home with you. It's the job that you do and then you leave.
Love that.
Yeah. So what would you say, would you give any advice based on how many different jobs you've had along the side, like to anyone who wants to dabble in side hustles? Like, what have you learned?
What have I learned? Well, I mean, I think we kind of touched on it. You can make it this, you know, the first decision I would make is if you're, you know, beginning a world in marketing, like I would try to get a side hustle that's in marketing, or if you're, try to keep it within your field or some way to push you forward, because I know a contact is good, but a contact that you're going to come into contact with doing that side hustle is more beneficial if that's something that you really enjoy doing.
Yeah. Or they can see you in action in the realm that they are also
You did a really good job doing X, Y, and Z. Do you want a full-time job, or like, is this just a side hustle? Do you want to do this for real? Like those kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another one that people have in the pandemic have turned into a full-time job is a virtual assistant. So I have a lot of friends that have done that. Actually, a friend of mine is launching her business right now. She's, you know, doesn't need a side hustle, but she likes being an assistant, especially virtually. So
yeah. And those you can do, like you can be a virtual assistant for more than one person at the same time, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You basically have different clients that you can, you know, set up emails or set up, you know, she does a little bit of graphic design on the side too. So,
yeah.
So
for a very organized person, I think of my ADHD, like Enneagram 7, not type A personality. I'm like, that seems like a nightmare.
So yeah, that would be step number one is try to find one that's within the realm of where you want your work life to go.
Yeah.
Next. That's, you know, definitely huge. But have to kind of just, it has to be monetary driven. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, there are people that need their side hustles to make X amount of dollars a month because their full-time job isn't.
Yeah. I think I should have, looking back, asked more people that were currently doing the jobs that I was looking for, like asking them what their perspective is of being in that job, right? So like, how do you like this job? What is it for you? Are you making good money? Yada, yada, yada. Because I think I just like signed up and learned from experience, where that obviously hindsight was not smart and efficient. You know, I'd rather learn from other people's experience as well.
Yeah. I think a good amount of, there's obviously, like you said, there's a good amount of literature out there about what some good side hustles are. So I'm sure you can do 2021 top side hustles, and I'm sure you can find a list and pick through. I know it's more so for people that take things a little bit more seriously, but Upwork is a really good website, and then Fiverr is a really good website too. I know there's, now that those company, those brands have been around for many years, like you get ranked higher by the amount of jobs that you do and stuff like that.
Right.
So breaking into that, like if you want to be a copywriter or a graphic designer or something like that, like breaking into that. But I mean, you get three or four good reviews, good five-star reviews, and then you'll start to rank up higher and higher. Yeah,
you got to start somewhere for sure. And like, it doesn't always have to be a, I think the word side hustle kind of gets like blurred because there's like the books, you know, the 4-hour work week where people turn a legit side career out of a few hours a week. So I think, I don't know, for me, I don't know if I was looking for that thing that was going to blossom into something bigger, or if I was just chasing the like quick paycheck of what could fulfill me or meet my needs in the moment, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe figuring out what your purpose is and why you're chasing a certain check in a certain way.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to add about the hustle?
No, just keep grinding and just make sure that those dollars are going in the right direction. Don't be spending extra time, you know, food running or being a Lyft driver and then taking that $250 extra and blowing it somewhere. Make sure that you're putting it into the right, into the right allocation, whether that be investments, whether that be rent, whether that be car payments and stuff like that.
Yeah. And be ready for the tax return because it's more paperwork.
Sure.
That's one thing I learned the hard way too.
Totally.
So many W-2s. Anyways. Okay. Before I share the malaprop of the day, you want to tell people a little bit like a plug for your company, what you do, where they can find you, and if they want to follow you?
Yeah. Please follow me.
Yes,
you will be entertained. Right, Tayflo?
100%. Content all day.
Yes. So yeah, I am a social media consultant, content creator. I've been doing social media now collectively for 5-10 years now. So I went off on my own. And also fell in love with TikTok during the pandemic. So I do social media consulting, TikTok consulting, IG Reels consulting, stuff like that. And I'm also a content creator myself. So I work with brands and do influencing campaigns with different brands because right now is a great time to be a creator because there's all these platforms are given back to all the creators out there. So it's a perfect time to have taken the leap like I did. And I didn't even know it was about to happen, but it did. And so I jumped at the right time. You can follow me on Instagram at @Aaron_Dodge and TikTok @Aaron_Dodge.
D-O-D-G-E.
D-O-D-G-E.
A-A, Ron.
Yes, correct.
I just want to make sure that people know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously, we'll tag you on Malaprops and Moxie Instagram, and maybe I'll share some photos of cruise carts.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if we ever have one together, but
I will send you some if you would like to post that.
Keep on the lookout for content. Okay. I don't want to show you what it is, but see if you... I'm sure you're going to pick up on this. I think when... I'll use you in a sentence. No, I'm going to use myself.
Okay. I have no idea what's about to happen.
So. I know.
Okay,
essentially, great. I'm going to use a malaprop in a sentence. This is how I end every episode.
Okay.
And we'll see if you notice. If you're me, you're not, because I say wrong things all the time.
Okay.
So I think when I started getting more and more side hustles, I misunderstimated how much time they would take. Your face is very straight.
Very straight. What do I need to do?
It's not, I said misunderestimated. That's not a word.
It didn't sound like a word. And I was like, do I point out that this isn't a word or like?
It sounded like it made sense.
It did, yes.
You knew what I meant. Yeah, that's a malaprop.
Love it.
You learn something every day.
Love
that. Well, thank you for being on Malaprops and Moxie. I really appreciate you.
Of course, I appreciate you too.
And you guys hang tight for a new episode coming soon.
Love
it. Bye.
Bye.
This episode of Malaprops and Moxie was recorded at the Huga Coworking Podcast Studio. You can find them online at wearehuga.com, and that's spelled H-Y-G-G-E. The music was recorded and produced by Young Citizen. Thanks so much for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and write a review.